This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Congressman Mike Conaway, Republican, representing the Lone Star State's 11th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Armed Services Committee. We want to get his thoughts on a couple of subjects today, including his push, along with several other members of Congress, for more information to be publicly disclosed about the Fort Hood shootings last week in his home state of Texas. We also want to get his reaction to reports today that President Obama has told his national security team to go back to the drawing board in coming up with an Afghan policy moving forward. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us, as always.
Well, Greg, it is good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, obviously, the Fort Hood shootings scarring America overall, but your state especially, and I know you were there on a number of occasions over the past few days. What information precisely, or what type of information, are you hoping that this administration will reveal that hasn't been revealed?
Well, I think that this is one of those discrete events where we ought to know everything there is to know. There's not a lot of, particularly about the guy, and who knew what, when, and where, and all those kinds of things, because it's going to be critical that if there's a way to discern from him individually his development from a fellow who looked like living the American dream. He had the taxpayer sent him to college, taxpayer sent him to med school, had every advantage that he possibly could. How did he go from lack of a better phrase, a peaceful Muslim to someone who appears to, based on his faith, decide to shoot 13 of his colleagues last Thursday afternoon? So trying to figure out how we can, how that happened is going to be essential. And I'm not sure there are any quote-unquote state secrets involved that in this instance, that we shouldn't, all of us know everything there is to know about it.
Congressman, are you noticing a lack of transparency at this point, or are you just trying to make sure that it remains transparent?
Well, it remains transparent. It's a little bit unfair to criticize the administration too much at this stage, because we're all back in, like, I'm in Texas and I'm not at D.C. I did get a brief the other day from the Intel Committee staff on some things that they were briefed on. So when we get back next week, if the administration is unwilling to send over their folks and brief us at that point in time, then I'll be able to say that, well, they're unwilling. But at this point in time, it's a little bit unfair to say that, because there are very few members in Washington, D.C. Most of us are all back in our districts meeting with constituents. So but we'll see next week when we get together how open they are to sharing with the Intelligence Committee.
Congressman, in the days and hours immediately following the shootings, there seemed to be a unified message from this administration not to jump to conclusions, even though, as more evidence appeared suggesting that this was a radical Islamic influence on this shooter. In his speech, though, at the memorial service on Tuesday, the president seemed to acknowledge, at least tacitly, that is, in fact, what was going on here. Is that an important turning point?
Well, it is. I think it's always good advice to not jump to conclusions. I think most all of us make better decisions when we have all the facts. And, quite frankly, things were in such a turmoil those first 48 hours that we needed to have been careful. But by the same token, once it's established that what his motives are and what he was doing, then we're going to have to acknowledge that this was a terrorist act, and that he was, in effect, a homegrown terrorist. And how he radicalized, what caused him to do that, is going to be an important part of this this conversation.
What did you notice while you were there, sir, about the resilience and how the folks down at Fort Hood are dealing with all this?
Well, I was there on Friday. I didn't get to go to the memorial service on Tuesday. I was there Friday. Things were in total control. General Cullen was reassuringly in control of what was going on. A tragic circumstance, grieving and sadness and the full horror of men and women in our uniforms being killed because they were in uniforms on our own soil. And yet, really, I don't know that we've even coped or dealt with that or fully understand that yet as well. But it was pretty clear that the Fort Hood family is very resilient. They're used to dealing with tragedy. Not that they like it, but they know how to do it. And the other thing I noticed was that the Killeen and the Harker Heights, Coppers Cove, all of the surrounding communities, General Cone had all the community leadership in for the briefing, and to a entity, they were offering up help and rallying around the folks there, and that will continue to go on. So And these victims are from all over the United States, many of them from other permanent duty stations. And those permanent duty stations now are dealing with, you know, grief much like Fort Hood is for the folks who were stationed at Fort Hood. So this tragedy is stretched across the United States on a one-to-one basis, in addition to the group sadness and grieving that we're doing, that we do for all our fallen.
Congressman, shifting now to the war in Afghanistan, and we know that General McChrystal submitted his report in late August. We heard a few weeks ago that right about this time is when we might be able to expect a decision on the new policy from the president. Now we hear today that he's basically rejected all four proposals presented to him at yesterday's briefing, and now he wants his national security team to go back to the drawing board. Your thoughts on the latest that we've heard here?
Well, that's pretty disappointing. Again, I don't have all the facts that were presented to him yesterday in his quote-unquote war council, but I don't know that we're going to have a lot of additional facts available to him that we don't already know, that he didn't already know in March when he set the strategy that he intended to pursue. I'm disappointed that it's taken this long to make a decision. I don't discount how hard this decision is. There's no tougher decision for a president, I don't think, than the one to send men and women into harm's way and know that you're sending some over that won't come back alive, and that's got to be spectacularly difficult. I hope it's just the difficulty of the decision and that he's not weighing the political implications and, you know, how does this play with the progressives and how does this play with this group or that group in his calculation. And that's not why he's delaying, because he's not willing to face the music that a hard decision will require, because he's going to make the decision and there's going to be an awful lot of folks who disagree with it. And we want a guy in office who can make tough decisions and then stick with it. We thought he had made it in March on the statement that we agreed with then. As it turns out, apparently he's rethinking something that he had just thought in March, and that's unsettling to the men and women in uniform that we're asking you to go do hard things. It is unsettling to their families to think that there is not a clear vision for what we want to get done, and that the leader is committed to that vision, and that we're asking people to take risks to implement that vision. We are now being shown that the leadership may not be the leader, or may not be as committed to his original vision as he thought, and it's unsettling at best.
Congressman, you're a member of both the Intelligence and the Armed Services Committees. Has there been any word from the White House as to why what seemed like a new comprehensive strategy in March is being completely reevaluated right now?
No, there has not. We've not yet been given any other information other than just it's a hard decision. And we knew, you know, he knew he was going to have to make hard decisions when he raised his hand, took that oath of office. And so, but beyond it being hard, we're not hearing anything that's this new information. We do have, I guess, reported over the last couple of days that his handpicked ambassador to Afghanistan, Ambassador Eikenberry, has now decided that he's not in favor of, or he believes that there's a problem with increasing the number of troops on the ground. And I don't know, it's a bit convenient, I think, timing-wise, for him to be able to come forward with that conclusion now versus earlier when McChrystal was putting together his assessment.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. As always, sir, very good of you to be with us.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Greg. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Absolutely. Texas Congressman Mike Conaway represents his state's 11th Congressional District. As I mentioned, member of both the House Intelligence and Armed Services Committees. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.